chains down. Sweet liberty, sweet liberty is in our hands. It's part of the plan. Or is it a state of mind? Never forget!
You're listening to Jackie Patru and Sweet Liberty. And now, here's your host, Jackie Patru.
Molly's panting. She has to go. Okay?
Yep.
I'll be back. You start.
Okay.
You need to start, Alan. We got dead air.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. Hello, this is Alan Watt. Jackie will be back in a few minutes. She had something to do. And I think we're going to continue with the conversation we had last night on what people should do in times of emergencies. And, of course, you don't wait until the emergency is upon you before you even think of these things. If people are not prepared by now, I don't think they really ever will be. What happened in Louisiana is probably a taste of what's to come across the whole country. And judging from the various biodiversity treaties and the Agenda 21 format of population reduction and population restructuring, to do with function, sustainable communities, I don't know if people will really understand that those that designed these formats are perfectly serious. And we are seeing them force people off their land and moving them all across the United States. And it's very doubtful if they'll ever go back to where they came from. In fact, it's very doubtful if we'll ever know how many thousands of people have been moved at all. It's so secretive as to numbers and so on.
I'm here, Alan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for getting started for us tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for being here. Had last-minute emergency with the puppy. And anyway, Alan.
Yeah.
I've got an... I pulled up a... I was doing quite a bit of reading today, and there was an article that's WorldNet Daily. And, you know, you can't always trust everything WorldNet Daily says.
Uh-huh.
But they quoted a man. They gave a name, a mortician, and said that they were told to prepare for 40,000.
Yeah. Well, it's so... strange.
And it could be 100,000 or more.
Yeah, they've said tens of thousands. So they really aren't telling us. And I don't think they know themselves yet. Honest with you.
There was a Popular Mechanics. I made a few notes here. There was a Popular Mechanics article September 11th, 2001.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting? New Orleans is sinking. You're on the air.
Yes, Jackie?
Yeah.
Are you aware that Pete Peters is leading heavily into your program?
No, I'm not.
Well, I sent your program on, and you and Peter's going at the same time, and
Alan. No,
I'll call WWCR, Jackie.
Thank you, Nicholas. Nicholas is going to take care of it, Alan. Thank you for calling in.
Okay, bye.
Bye. That was our listener named Alan. Alan. Herb.
Yes,
Herb.
Yes. Okay.
Anyway, there was an article September 11th, 2001 in Popular Mechanics that said New Orleans is sinking. And, you know, I didn't notice that date. until just now, and I even wrote it down.
Yeah.
And it said here that a surge of a Category 5 storm could put New Orleans under 18 feet of water.
Yeah.
And I find that very interesting that this article appeared September 11, 2001.
Right. And also Bush drew certain funds, because I think it was the Army Corps of Engineers that was responsible for maintaining that, the levee, and he withdrew funding for them and actually upped some of the water containment so there was more pressure there.
Yeah, but you know what I thought about with that? I'm sorry to say I'm not getting a very, very high voice level on you tonight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I hope you're not coming that way through to our listeners.
Uh-huh.
Of course, if Pete Peters is bleeding over to us, it doesn't matter anyway. Mm-hmm. One of the thoughts I had about that, you know, I never did, I didn't get to the Toronto Star. You mentioned earlier today that somebody had said that there was a little blurb in the Toronto Star that people actually saw.
On the 5th,
On the 5th.
Yeah.
People actually saw people at the levee blowing holes in it.
Yeah,
and they
actually, they didn't blow close together. It was at both opposing ends. So that encircled the whole place. I mean, that was...
And the people who saw them doing it thought that they were doing it to relieve pressure or something.
That's right. And instead, it made the situation worse.
So, doesn't it make sense that this would be a good justification for the levees breaking?
Yeah.
They withdrew federal funding, Alan. And so now that's the big deal. If the federal government would have given the money, they could have repaired and maintained the levee, and it wouldn't have broken. And I don't think it broke.
No, I don't think so. In fact, the hurricane, when it hit, had been downgraded to about a 3, and it was already out of that area by when those things blew.
Well, it wasn't strong enough to do the job they wanted it to do.
Uh-huh.
And then I found the headline, and these are articles. I have not read all of the articles. You told me this. Halliburton caps contract for golf repairs. It was in the Indy Media TV news.
Yeah.
So Halliburton's got that big one. And I also, I sent it over to Darren. Folks, if you haven't been to the website, sweetliberty.org, you really should go there. Darren has done, again, a magnificent job of putting this stuff together. There, we have, I told you last night, a section titled Weather Modification. And what he's done is he's put it on the main page for you, right up at the very top. And there's a question, was Katrina a man-made hurricane? And then he's got a quote, I can't remember the guy's name, back in 1997. You want to go there, sweetliberty.org. I sent this over to Darren to post, but I wanted to share this with our listeners. This is the beginning of the NMOD Treaty. It was in Geneva, by the way, May 18, 1977. Environmental modification techniques, listen to this, refer to changing through deliberate manipulation of natural processes the dynamics, composition, structure of the earth, including its biota, Alan, B-I-O-T-A, lithosphere, and atmosphere or outer space. So if any of our listeners think that there isn't such a thing as weather modification, this was 1977, folks. And by the way, Alan, did you, I've read a couple, these were newspaper reports, that five, you remember they said they shot five gunmen on the bridge? Well, or how many did they shoot? Five anyway. Were military. They were shot. They were up there to do some work. And we were told that
snipers opened fire, that's what it said. Yeah, looters who were snipers opened fire on the engineers who were trying to repair the gap.
Yes. I hope our listeners can hear you. Let's see how... Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, Jackie, in the background, I can hear another program.
That's Pete Peters.
Over yours.
Melvin, it's Pete Peters bleeding over.
Yes.
And what's his, Nicholas was calling WWCR to tell them
Okay.
But thank you for the call, Mel.
Okay.
Bye, honey.
I hear you good.
Oh, okay. Is Alan's voice level good, Mel?
Yeah, good.
Okay, cool. Then I won't worry about it. Thank you.
Yeah, Jackie, they are aware of the problem and supposedly working on it, so.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, thanks a lot. Now, okay. I wonder if we're bleeding into Pete Peters.
I doubt it.
Oh, I doubt it, too.
Yeah. It's the one we bleed.
Alan?
Hello, yeah?
Are you waiting for me to say something?
Yeah, I thought you should mention the date, I think, because I don't think we did that.
Today's date?
Yeah, this is...
Oh, well, you're supposed to do that at the very beginning of the tape.
Yeah, but I didn't, because time is irrelevant to me.
Today is the 7th, is it?
Yeah.
Today is the 7th of September, folks, Tuesday, September 7th, 2005. Yeah, that's fine. I guess I should bring this up, folks. Our support of this broadcast has fallen off quite a bit, and maybe it is because it's time to wrap it up. I was telling Alan earlier that I was going to have to just close off the broadcast, and he said that I should say one more time to those of you who are listening who... feel that there's value in the information you get here. I have been foolish to let it go this long. Do you know I'm 10 years doing this, Alan.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and maybe it is time to wrap it up. I don't know. Maybe people just don't believe what I'm saying, because I'm not saying this to threat. I'm going to have to do it if something drastic doesn't happen. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Jackie. It's me, Lily.
Hi, Lily.
Hi, Alan.
Hello.
I just
wanted to ask the listeners if somebody could start doing something like a blog thing, blogs against FEMA's involvement in Katrina.
In other words, Lily, when you called earlier today, you said, you know, you mentioned what Alan said, that they're really going to start promoting FEMA. And I think it's important, you know, to preface this with that, why you came up with this idea, honey.
Yeah, it's because people have short memories, and they're going to be forgetting that FEMA was the one who turned people away or turned the buses away and any kind of help. And they were the ones who cut the communications off in New Orleans and all that. If people could maybe keep things on the Internet and keep it alive, you know, keep people talking about it so that their memories stay sharp on that. It was FEMA that was the bad guy in all this, and that we should not ask for FEMA to be the main coordinator of everything. So if maybe people, like they did with Terry Schiavo, there was all kinds of blogs, something like that, blogs or websites.
Blogs. They call them blogs. People set them up, their personal websites, but these blogs are getting a lot of attention.
Yeah. So if they maybe could do some, like, blogs against FEMA's involvement in Katrina and just keep on hammering away at that it was FEMA is the bad guy. Do not ask them to be the coordinator of the whole thing in emergency. So that's all I want to say.
Thank you, Lil, and thanks for calling in, honey.
Okay.
I think it's a wonderful idea. Bye-bye. All right, I just want to repeat that. She called me earlier today, folks, and mentioned this, and I thought it was worth you considering, any of you who have some expertise or knowledge about the computers and how to set up a blog, set up a FEMA blog. And because when people go to do a FEMA search, your blog comes up. And so if you get information, gather information about FEMA, and there's enough of that, it'll be very strong on the Internet. Hi, you're on the air. Hello? Okay. I'm sorry. I lost our caller. If you call, folks, and I'm in the middle of a sentence, I will take your call, but I wanted to finish what I was saying. And so whoever called, if you'd like to, you can call back again. Hello, you're on the air. Hello? I'm sorry, whoever's calling, I cannot hear you. I'm very sorry about that. Nobody's coming through. Alan.
Yeah?
I read a piece tonight, and this makes a little bit of sense. I do not know if this is true. But what it was said is that the governor, that the reason that they were standing down all of the help that could have been given is because the governor of New Orleans, what's her name?
Oh, I can't.
LaBianco or something like that.
Yeah.
Whatever. That she would not give authority, federal military law authority to the federal government, and that they were holding back until she finally caved in. Because, see, she couldn't bring their enough of their National Guard in because their National Guard is in Iraq.
Yeah,
now,
all of this is I tell you, I take it all with a pinch of salt because I think 2 years ago they had a practice evacuation of New Orleans with all of their civilian capacities running, the school buses and so on, to do an evacuation. And it all went off like clockwork, and so they didn't even need the military involvement.
So you think that then that this governor thing,
yeah,
is just okay? Thank you for
yeah,
that.
All we're getting now is a deliberate act of
misinformation.
Yeah, they definitely had a civilian, and they had all of the flatboats and everything out taking part in this. And the school buses went in, evacuated people, and it went like clockwork. But it was FEMA that stopped it all from happening. They stopped the civilian participation, and the civilian organizations all knew what they had to do, but they weren't allowed to do it.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're on the air.
Hello. Hello. Hi. Yeah, one thing. This is Storm from New York.
Yes, Storm.
Yeah, I was thinking, as Alan listening, I was going to say that one thing I just thought of just when Alan was making a comment is that I've heard that when they have revolutions and the government wants to start a little trouble, they let the prisoners out of jail when something like this happens, or if you want to start a revolution and make things, add more fuel to the fire. And it turns out, I didn't actually research this, but I found out that this afternoon Bob Grant said that they did let the people free from the prisons. I don't think they moved them to some other prison. Now, could it just be that, first of all, a lot of rapes and robberies...
Okay, now, don't go on too long,
okay.
Don't go on.
A lot of rapes and robberies haven't been really substantiated. There haven't been many...
Exactly, it's
yeah,
like the sniper...
Stood forward.
Yeah, but who's Bob Grant?
All right, Bob Grant is a talk show host like you on AM on 710. What
okay.
he said was that they let the prisoners out of jail. And I'm just wondering, you know, freed the prisoners. And I'm wondering if maybe if they did have, not a lot, but maybe a few pedophiles, a few... You know,
doesn't matter.
Some,
yeah,
you know,
right, right.
Set them loose on, you know, add more people
very possibly.
To the population like they did in the Congress.
Very possibly. Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks, Storm. Alan.
Uh-huh.
You saw on the news they were showing the prisoners that were chained together.
Yeah, they were actually on an overpass, a road. They went down into the water. They were in the water. The guards were up on the higher part, and these prisoners were all together trying to keep their head above water. So we'll never really know. You know, I don't really think that was the problem. There were definitely gangs in downtown. I mean, there's no doubt.
Yeah, and it could have been over exaggerated too.
They will do this.
Yeah,
the fact is, what we have to look at is what was accomplished here.
Alan, we have a caller. Can we take this call?
Yeah.
Keep your thought. Oh, shoot. Are you there, caller?
Hello, Jackie.
Yes.
Yes, Bill from Cedar Bluff, Alabama.
Hello, Bill.
Haven't heard you on the radio for a while. You're switching frequencies. Real quick, last Sunday evening on Bill Boshier's Sci Zone program, it was reported by Mr. Boshier himself, not a caller, that President Bush has rescinded the Posse Comitatus legislation by an executive order. I do not remember if the number of this executive order was actually broadcast. I did not hear it. Are you familiar with this information?
No, I'm not, and thank you for calling that in, because we have... Bye, Donnie. Thank you, honey, very much. Bill, we have... Shoot, I lost my train of thought. Oh, we have listeners who are listening on the Internet, and maybe they would be able to check. If you go to sweetliberty.org, we have a section on executive orders, and you can click right there, and it brings up every executive order from, you know, Reagan and Clinton and Bush and et cetera. And maybe one of our listeners would be able to do a quick search for us and see if there's any truth in that. Bill Bashir, I would not think that he would make that statement unless he had verified it, but we don't know for sure, do we?
He usually does his homework on the information that he himself broadcasts.
Okay.
One other thing, martial law has been declared in numerous counties throughout Louisiana and Mississippi. This has been confirmed by mainstream, I think it was both ABC and National Propaganda, I'm sorry, National Public Radio.
Wow.
So this is the, you know, once again, the motto.
Ordo ab Deo.
Exactly, thank you. And, you know, you got to let the chaos happen, and then you can come in draconially and bring in your form of
order.
World order.
Thank you, Bill.
Jackie, we'll
it's
talk to
good,
you later.
It's good to hear from you. Bye-bye. Well, there you go, Alan.
Yeah, this is, as I say, we've got to look at what's been accomplished. It fits in with all the agendas that mesh together from the United Nations, from its inception when it was actually the League of Nations, in fact. All these plans to do with a scientific with sustainable communities go back to 1917. So they're actually doing it. They're displacing the peoples and putting them out into other areas where they will eventually create these sustainable communities.
And
maybe one day we'll be able to make glass beads and necklaces to sell to the middle
there
class.
There you go.
Chinese.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have another caller here. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah. No, Alan, I just want to know, what do you think the purpose of this is? I'll just hang up.
He
the purpose
was just,
of the storm and them doing
he,
what they did in Orleans.
Okay. He. Jeez.
Yep. Well... Let's start the agenda here. The agenda that you've seen being accomplished is the use of weather modification to create storms, plus with a little help from explosives on the levees.
Yeah, if your storm doesn't work out the way you expected.
That's right, uh-huh. And you flood an area, you displace the survivors, you kill a lot off at the same time. These are the useless eaters, you see, as far as they're concerned at the top. Barbara Bush made a little statement this morning where she said that, well, these people who lived there didn't have much money anyway and didn't do much with their lives, so they'd be much better off wherever we put them. So that's how the elite look at the general population, you see. It isn't just the black population, it's everybody.
Exactly.
So they want these sustainable communities. And Agenda 21, the areas which are disaster prone.
Hello.
Should be literally removed.
Hello.
People removed, and new sustainable communities set up elsewhere.
Ellen, there's somebody else on the line with us.
Uh-huh.
Hello. I heard a woman saying hello a couple or three times.
Uh-huh.
And I don't have a call coming in here.
Oh, well, maybe that's FEMA.
Maybe it is FEMA, yeah.
Yep. But so what's happened is they're getting their agenda through. I mean, we're looking at, we don't know how many thousands, maybe up to a million people being removed off to other states into FEMA camps, by the way, and they cannot leave those camps once they're put there. And even on the Canadian news, they said that some of these camps, they're not all sports arenas, some of them are barbed wire enclosures with towers there and guards on them.
Yes, you know what I heard on CNN today?
Uh-huh.
That they were going to military camps.
Uh-huh.
And I got thinking about all the military camp base closings.
Yeah.
Well, Alan, maybe those are what a lot of what they're setting up,
mm-hmm.
You know, for the, what do they call them?
Well, now they're calling them...
What?
displaced people, refugees, and even the word insurgents has been used.
Insurgents.
Can you believe that? Yeah, yeah.
But what do they call these camps? Not concentration camps.
Detention centers.
Detention centers, yeah. Well, that isn't the word she used, but it was...
And containment camps as well.
Yeah.
There's a whole bunch of words for the same thing. A prison camp is a prison camp, no matter you know what you want to flower it up with.
Well, I know that, but they have their own little cute little ways of saying
language.
Things.
But they're also giving them, it was reported this morning, hepatitis shots as they move them out.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hepatitis B.
I didn't really specify, but the fact is, I mean, I didn't know why they were giving them that particular shot.
Because it's deadly, Alan.
Well, yeah, yeah. And we don't know what's in it anyway.
That's right.
But,
Oh, my God.
Tens of thousands of people are being taken all over the United States, and there'll be no follow-up as to whatever happened to these people. And this is only the beginning, because they're on a roll now. Now, they may use this fake gasoline shortage and crisis to bring in more control across the entire country, right down to gasoline rationing. And I wouldn't be surprised if they bring this in, because they're playing this for all it's worth. And
and for our possibly new listeners, they're telling us that a huge percentage of our oil comes from Louisiana, which is a lie, ladies and gentlemen. In fact, the majority, according to a Toronto Star article, of our oil, or at least about 30% of it, comes from Canada. While the Canadians, right offshore of Canada, and they send it over here, and Canadians are paying over $5 a gallon right now for gas. You're on the air.
Jackie?
Yes.
This is Kate.
Hi, Kate.
You know, this is nothing new.
May I ask you a question?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, is the bleed over stopped?
I can't hear you.
Has the bleed over stopped?
I don't hear it now.
Okay, good. Okay, thank you.
You know, Iron Mountain has it all. I mean, I watched it over and over. That was done in 1961. It tells you right there. And Linda Thompson in her Waco Big Lie, she shows the concentration camp. She shows everything. But nobody listens. They want to cleanse the earth, and they are doing it. Fort Dix, where I came from, has a concentration camp, barbed wire, but nobody listens. New Orleans was planned to clean it out, and that's what they're doing.
Well, more than clean out New Orleans, and yes, thank you, Kate.
Pardon me?
I said more than just to clean out New Orleans.
Apparently,
it's as Alan said, you know, what have they accomplished? What are they are killing so many birds with one stone with this Holocaust.
Oh, absolutely.
Holocaust. And I think we ought to start calling New Orleans a Holocaust.
Yes.
Because there is no... what do you call it, copyright on that word?
No.
And this is exactly what it was a Holocaust.
Well, let me tell you something. Ariel Sharon, at Gaza Strip, that's another joke. We've paid a hell of a lot of money of tax dollars to move these Jews out of there, and he's going to build a resort casino. And that's what these Jews are doing. They never mentioned Meyer Lansky that put in the casinos in Las Vegas, Atlantic City, where I came from. All they are drug laundering money facility.
Wait. You're saying that they're going to build a casino?
I understand the rumor is.
In the Gaza Strip.
Oh, yes.
It's a rumor. Well, I read an... I subscribe to a Jewish newspaper.
Yes.
And they said that they have demolished all the beautiful homes there.
Right.
But they've left all the synagogues up.
Oh, yeah, you're not allowed to do that.
Oh, no, yeah. They left the synagogues up. Thank you, Kate.
Okay.
Bye.
What in the world is going on? Stay tuned to FirstAmendmentRadio.com to find out first. And on satellite at Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70.
If you read the history books, the most often asked question to Southerners was this: why did you fight? And the most often given answer is, because you're here. In other words, the South did not invade the North invaded the South.
Was it the Civil War or War of Federal Aggression? John Weaver sets the record straight in this DVD series on the Civil War and the Right of Succession from the Old Pass Christian History Conference. Was there a war to set the slaves free, or was it a war to enslave us all? Get this DVD and judge for yourself. War of Federal Aggression. Get this DVD presentation for a donation of $25 from FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Order online today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Call 559-781-3773. The truth seems strange only because we've been indoctrinated with a fiction. War of Federal Aggression. Get it today. You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the internet at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, P.A. 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, P.A. 16936. Be sure to visit the SweetLiberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support. And stay tuned to FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
I think we're back on again. So what I'll do is give my name and address for anyone who wants to order one or all of these three books I have. It goes through the history of these secret societies for thousands of years up to the present time. And the money boys that go along with it. It's all one system, really. It's one system we live in. And I try and document this as best as I can with the information that be made available by even the ancient philosophers of Greece. So the series of these books is called Cutting Through 1, 2, and 3. And my name is Alan Watt, W-A-T-T. The address is Site, S-I-T-E, 41, 41, Box 4, Estaire, which is E-S-T, A-I-R-E, Ontario, Canada, and the postal code is P for Peter, 3, E for Elizabeth, 4, N for Nora, 1. So that is Alan Watt, Site 41, Box 4, Estaire, Ontario, Canada. P for Peter, 3, E for Elizabeth, 4, N for Nora, 1. And my telephone number is 705-695-0416. These books are $25 each, payable in international postal order, which you get from your post office. And I'll get them out to you as soon as I can.
I'm here, Alan. Thank you for filling in. I wanted to go make sure my doors were locked.
Oh, okay.
I want to emphasize, you mentioned the international postal money orders.
Yeah.
To our listeners, folks, if you send a U.S. postal money order or a personal check, Alan will not be able to use it. So it would either be an international postal money order, or it would be slave credits, FRNs, cash, dollar, whatever they call it, the money. And please make a note of that, because he has received a few orders where people have sent him a payment that he cannot use. And he, of course, can no longer, I don't think, Alan, you know, in the past, yeah. you used to say if you can't afford $25, then send what you can. But you found out that the pockets do have a bottom in them.
Yeah, they do.
And so it has to be right, folks. Be sure also to put your full name, address, return, or the Canadian Post Office will not deliver your mail. And that I've read it myself from our post office.
Yeah.
The regulations, Alan.
I know. Well, it's a total information awareness. Not, and they mean total.
Well, that first time I was sending something to you,
yeah.
instead of putting Jackie Petru on it because I just would rather not have, I put Aunt Meg.
Yeah.
And I got it to the post office and they said, oh, you can't put that on. I had to take it back and readdress it.
You should have got a different post office where they don't know you. Yeah.
Well, it does. No, they said, no, because it says right in the regulations. That you can't put aunt or uncle.
Oh, really?
Oh, no. That's why I'm emphasizing this to our listeners. It has to be your first and last name, but not Aunt Meg or whatever. Okay. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello, you're saying something funny with the post office. I'll tell you something funny I did. I actually literally put Hymie Town, New York, on an address I sent somewhere in Manhattan, and it got there. No problem.
Well, that
was, what do I mean by that?
It wouldn't get there from Canada to Canada, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I heard that there's some new more. What is this? Some new restrictions for Canada?
Oh yeah.
Something going into Canada. What about something coming from Canada?
Well, people in Canada know what the regulations are, Storm. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, as I say, it's micromanagement of everyone's life, and they want to know everything about everybody. And that's what Total Information Network is about. No privacy of any kind. And they're doing it.
Yeah, we've got a call here. Hi, you're on the air.
No, I meant coming out of Canada to the United States. That's what I meant.
I know you meant that,
okay,
Storm.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But then again, you know, some imagination can do wonders sometimes. And I'll leave it at that.
Okay, say that again.
Some imagination can do wonders.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because why help them make up dossiers on everybody? That's what it's about, really.
Yes.
The computer and the internet is one of their easiest tools to use.
Yeah. And
they make up personality profiles on every user.
Yes. And the thing is, if you're mailing a box to
uh-huh.
Canada,
yeah.
they ask you on the form, you have to fill out a form
mm-hmm.
and put everything exactly that's in that box,
yeah.
even the weight and the value and et cetera, et cetera.
CMT, 6 pounds.
Yeah, right.
that will probably get through.
No, what that would get is somebody banging in my door.
Mm.
But, shoot, Alan.
Yeah. But no, that's what.
No, this is what I wanted to say. I was told by somebody that, you know, on the form they ask, if it isn't delivered, do you want it returned to you?
Uh-huh.
Well, I put no,
yeah.
because what I was told was they will charge you their postage to return that.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, the Canadian government is full of crap because they're worried about what's
Storm.
In the package. But if you got,
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to be ignorant, but there's just too many interruptions here. You know, I spoke with Julia and Sid last night, and Julia was telling me about a conversation she had with a friend of hers, an acquaintance, whatever, associate. And I invited them to call in tonight, and I know that they're listening, and if you all would like to call in, do so. And if you prefer not, that's okay. One of the things that, well, I'll wait and see if they would like to call in. What Julia was telling me, I felt, would be better for our listeners to hear from her, rather than me saying that Julia said that somebody said.
Yeah.
So.
But, no, as I say, the whole thing is what's been accomplished. And that is true.
those that have been awake for years don't have to have anything proven to them. There have been lots of expose of what was planned many years ago, and really it's old hat to us when we actually watch it happening. Even though it's monstrous to most people, it's horrendous. It's expected by those who followed this agenda. And what we've realized over the years, when they plan something and talk about it, they always do it. See, that's the thing, they do it. And killing thousands or millions is nothing to them.
No.
They've created world wars to have agendas put through. And this is ongoing war. This is ongoing war. To get their entire agenda through for the 21st century.
Alan?
Yeah?
I read a lot of quick reading, of course, because there's a storm of mail, no pun intended.
Mm-hmm.
But there's talk about this Operation Ophelia. Do you know anything about it?
Ophelia was... hold on. There's another one working up in the Atlantic, another hurricane.
I know. They're naming another hurricane Ophelia.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But they also, this thing that I read very briefly, said, because, see, I put them aside to read,
yeah.
But as I'm pulling them up, I put so many aside, I don't get a chance to read all of them.
Mm-hmm.
But they are referring to a government operation called Ophelia, and felt that there was a connection between Operation Ophelia and the new hurricane that they've named Ophelia.
Mm-hmm. Well, very probably, I have no doubt. They don't just pick names out of the hat, really. This one by Cherkov, he actually called it Katerina. That's what he called it when he first talked about it.
Oh, Katerina.
And, of course, that's the Russian pronunciation.
Yes.
Catherine and Katerina is synonymous with the Catherine wheel, which is a firework which you nail on a post and spins, and it actually looks like a swastika as it revolves. And you call it a Catherine wheel. So there's no coincidence they gave it this name. It's also to do with the name Cat. Even though it's with a K, it's a lion. In other words, it's one of the little in-house jokes. It's the cat, the lion. You know, it's a lion of a storm. It's their storm. So they pick these names very, very carefully. They pick everything very carefully. In fact, and flaunt it in front of our faces, and then they call us the profane because we. So this is important.
Yeah, we have to call. Hi, you're on the air.
Jackie?
Yes.
Sorry, I've been trying to get you on the other line.
On this line.
I can't get a hold of you on the other line.
No, it's because I'm on the other. Honey, we do the broadcast on that line, Julia.
Right. Well, that's what I've been trying.
Okay, can you speak up, please, honey?
Right, I've been trying to get on there.
Okay.
I don't get anything to do these signals. So.
Yeah, that's right, because Alan and I are taking up the line.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling in, Julia. Will you share with our listeners what you told me last night?
Oh, absolutely. Tell me when you're ready.
Right now.
Oh, okay, great. I just wanted to know that FEMA has, in fact, told friends of ours that the Murphy Oil Company is now leaking so much oil that the ground is too contaminated and they will not be allowed to.
You have to say that louder. I'm sorry, honey.
Okay. FEMA has informed friends of mine with property in New Orleans that the Murphy Oil Company is now spilling too much oil, the ground is too contaminated, and they will not be allowed to refill.
Even with their own money.
Oh, they don't have a choice.
In no uncertain terms, they cannot rebuild.
That's right.
Okay, that's the beginning, isn't it?
We pay them off, and they will not have any property, they can't build anything, they're out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and another really interesting thing I noticed is
okay,
that
speak up.
People who are going down to the IRS office to try to find, get some copies of their documents from the past so that they can apply for home loans. There's a big sign on the IRS office door that says closed until further notice.
Until further notice.
Isn't that?
Is this in Baton Rouge?
Yes.
So people who lost all their records, their recourse, what would their recourse be?
Well, I'm sure that some of them will have to wait, and, you know, hopefully some of them had CPAs who were out of the area who have copies of their forms, but until then, they're just going to have to wait.
And what's Baton Rouge looking like right now,
well,
Julia?
We're muddling along pretty good. The traffic situation is horrendous.
Well, I heard on CNN today that they said the Baton Rouge had doubled its population.
Oh, sure.
And I think, if I'm not mistaken, from around 400,000 to 800,000.
Easily.
Uh-huh. And where are these people staying, Julia?
Well, truthfully, so many people in town have taken in several families apiece. All of the apartment complexes are full, even as far away as, well, as far away as I can think. I know in Lafayette, some people have even had to go as far as Little Rock, Arkansas to find an apartment.
Wow. Well, at least they have the money to find an apartment.
Well, sure.
Yeah, okay. Julia, did Sid want to...
He sure did. Hold
okay.
on just a second.
Thank you.
Hello, Jackie.
Hi, Sid.
How are you?
Well, not so bad, eh?
Right. Alan, it's not a bit talk about the little discussion we had last night with... The president of Jefferson Parish.
Broussard.
Broussard. Right?
Aaron
Broussard.
Aaron, A-A-R-O-N.
Right, exactly. And it was interesting. I looked at the videotape quite a bit today, just picking up different things. But it's kind of obvious that it's the perfect example of the problem, reaction, solution. And if you look, watch Mr. Russett as he talks to Michael Chertoff, he talks about the actual problem. And it's Russett that says, but what is already more than clear is that the nation's disaster preparedness mechanisms do not appear to be in the hands of officials who know how to run them. That's the problem.
You said that too fast. Said.
Okay.
Do it again, hon.
Sure. But what is already more than clear is that the nation's disaster preparedness mechanisms do not appear to be in the hands of officials who know how to run them. So that's the problem. Aaron Broussard came on, and he talked about his reaction or the people's reaction, that things are just not working. The people that need help aren't getting help. So that's why I see Aaron Broussard is what he's doing. Whether he's doing it, and I can't imagine him not doing it as somebody who's just innocent, because his statements are things are really bad here. His solution, though, is this, and I'm going to read this. And he said, it's so obvious, FEMA needs more congressional funding. And this is exactly what you and Alan have been talking about. It needs more presidential support. It needs to be a cabinet-level director. It needs to be an independent agency that will be able to fulfill its vision to work in partnership with state and local governments around America. FEMA needs to be empowered to do the things it was created to do. It needs to come somewhere, like New Orleans, with all its support immediately, without red tape, without bureaucracy, act immediately with common sense and leadership. And this is what the whole ordeal was about. Because right now, the governor of each state has the right to use their people in emergencies like this.
Uh-huh.
They can actually control things. And so what they're going to do is when they pass this law on FEMA, they'll also open up this one of our states' rights that's protected us, the states, for years, and make it to where the federal government can come directly into this. And FEMA leading the charge.
What did you think about his breakdown crying thing?
Oh, that's excellent. I thought there were two things about that he talked about. His ideas of this emergency manager, mother, his little story. That's typical Louisiana politics. That's something that was rehearsed. His crying, etc. I personally believe it was. And anyway,
you said that was a Huey Long.
That absolutely. It's things that we have seen in Louisiana. Of course, we're known for our dishonest politicians, but in Louisiana, where other people get upset, we kind of cheer them on. It's almost like a football team. Yeah, well, we had Edward Edwards and Huey Long and all this stuff.
Edwards, yes.
He said, finally, this is the last point, is that he was promoting FEMA after he had already said how everything was handled poorly. But then he comes back and he just forgets that all about the things about FEMA, which is really the responsible thing, because they were the people that turned back the trucks, wouldn't allow the trucks to be fueled, etc.
The water.
Exactly. And what he says is that now that's our solution. It was the fact that we'll just give more power to this very inept organization. So, you know, he was given a message.
I think. And it certainly was a mixed message, wasn't it?
It accomplished exactly what was supposed to be accomplished.
When we were talking last night, you and Julia and I shared with you what my friend and mentor, Betty Mills, said about Oliver North.
Right.
Because, you know, they had these hearings, and he took the brunt of a lot of it. He wound up in a military hospital in Kansas City. I think it was Kansas City, Missouri. And I did not remember this, but she said they had it on the news that he was running through the halls berserk. He had gone berserk and was running through the halls, and they showed this on mainstream news. She said, I don't know if Oliver North was just used as a dupe or if he was already one of the bad guys, but she said, I believe that they did something to him. And whether he was, quote, a good guy or not, it makes no difference because now he's working for the enemy.
Well, absolutely. That's exactly right. It doesn't really matter whether he did it because he was conscious of what he was doing or whether he was emotional, et cetera. The bottom line, what he supports trumps everything else that happens.
And probably what we'll hear, if they ever play it again, I don't know if they're replaying it, but if they do, I would imagine that breakdown period of his would be left out of it. Wouldn't
I think so?
Yeah.
It's possible. You know, it's very possible. It was it might have been genuine, but it really, I've seen that the way he worded it, like Monday night, Mama called.
Yes.
Monday, Tuesday,
son, are you coming? Yes, Mama, we're coming.
Yeah, yeah. That's a little
political
trait.
Okay.
Use words.
Here's a thought that I had. Alan and I have talked about this, and a thought that occurred to me. This was a high guy in FEMA, because he said the office where I'm sitting is the man in charge of everything in FEMA. And I guess I assumed that he was talking about Mike Brown, but maybe he wasn't. But this is a man, according to this Broussard, that was saying, yes, Mama, they're going to come and get you Tuesday. Yes, Mama, they're going to come and get you Wednesday. Yes, Mama, they're going to come and get you Thursday. yes, Mama, they're going to come and get you Friday. And then he started crying, and he said she drowned Friday night.
Can you imagine somebody
Exactly.
Making efforts to rescue his mom?
Exactly. Exactly, Sid. That was my very thought. If that was his mama, he had the authority to send a flatboat to get his mama. And why wouldn't she have drowned before Friday night? Or I'm pretty sure, didn't he say Friday night?
Friday night, yeah.
Yeah. Why would it have taken her a week to drown?
Yeah.
And how was she calling him if she was so flooded with water?
It was just a little game.
Well, I think it's something, though, that I wanted our listeners to hear this, Sid. And thank you so much for calling in on this, because I think this is really one of their really great productions.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and we're almost out of our... Sid, thank you so much, both you and Julia.
Thank you, Jack.
For keeping in touch. Bye-bye. Alan.
Yeah.
Okay, what does this sound like to you?
It's too irrelevant, that part of it.
Well, okay.
It is.
Okay, everything I say is irrelevant, Alan.
It's stuck on.
Or it's stupid. Only fools would talk about this.
You could never really know.
All right. Fine. We'll talk about what you want to talk about, Alan. You
well,
go ahead. Talk about what's important, okay?
Let's be honest here. We can all think what we want about that fund and production, but does it really matter?
I guess not. You're on the air.
Yeah. I was going to say, Alan, you're really fascinating.
All right. Well,
that
was Storm.
Oh.
That was Storm. You really fascinate him.
Oh. But no, as I say, there's a thousand stories going to come out of this.
Well, this is a big one. Alan, this is all over the news. It's all over the Internet.
I don't think the big boys care what the people think about FEMA. FEMA is already in charge. They were never voted in by anybody. There was no democratic discussion about it.
Okay.
They're there.
We're out of our hour here. Folks, we'll be back tomorrow night. And maybe tomorrow night Alan will do the broadcast. And then whatever is discussed will be important. And thank you. Hello. Thank you for being here tonight, ladies and gentlemen. And I do want to say this. The broadcast is about to be closed down. And if it doesn't matter to you, that's fine with me. It really takes a big load off me. If I should continue, I will. And you will be the ones to let me know. Good night. Good night. Thank you, Alan.
Roll away the dawn.
You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the Internet at firstamendmentradio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Be sure to visit the sweetliberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support. And stay tuned to firstamendmentradio.com.
The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of the First Amendment Radio Network or its affiliated radio stations.
Now listen to me. The Bible says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. I want you to know that a corporation is Caesar.
Government take